Tell me. Starting with the Yerushalmi. At the end of Halacha Aleph, just to review, it's basically not a review, but it's a comment on the Tosefta. It's basically the Tosefta. So I'll read that, and then somebody else will read in the Bavli. Tani mevarchen ala dagan kishuhu min amuchar. Chluskin ushlema shabal abayis. There's a mitzvah to make the bracha on the dagan, which is muvchar. And it should again be pointed out, if you're not interested in eating a particular thing, there's no then you don't, as the Ritva says very clearly, if, you know, the whole discussion, let's say, prusa shel chitim and shlema shel saorim, there's no shayla that if you're not interested in eating chitim bread, you don't make a bracha on it. It's only when you're interested in eating from both that we can talk about which one do you wish to make the bracha on. So the Yerushalmi says that kluskin ushleima shabalabayis omer ala kluskin. The baker's bread is a finer bread. Prusa shel kluskin ushleima shabalabayis. So omer ala shleima shabalabayis, even though it's an inferior quality, it's, you know, it's not pasniki or whatever it is. Then apaschitin upasaron omer al shochitim. That's obvious. Prusa shelchit, both because it's mukta mepasik, it's also mufchar. Prusa shel chitim ushleima shel sorim om ala prusa shel chitim. Again, that's what you know from the Bavli, we know from the Tosefta, that in this case the min chita, for whatever the reasons, outweighs the shleimus issue. And then sorim paskusbin om al shel sorim. You make the bracha on Sa'orim over Kusman. Va'lo shel Kusman yofa mimenu. Ela shezeh mimin shiva, zo mimin shiva, v'zo eina mimin shiva. Okay. So at this point, we've seen this until this point in the Tosefta, we spoke about the issue of Kusman and what its status is. So then the Yerushalmi adds in a very important comment. Rabbi Yaakov baracha b'shem Rabbi Zeira, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda omim yesh b'nei mimin shiva alav u'mavarech. This idea that if it's pas chitin, if pas kusman pas saron, if you make the bracha on the saron, even though the kusman is mufchar, means that you give an adifus over people's personal desires, over chaviv, you give it to Shiva Samin. And that's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, we know later, from the Mishnayos. Of Hayulafan Aminim Harbeis, so Rabbi Yehuda says, if one of them is the Shiva Samin, then you mevarech on the Shiva Samin first. Then the Yerushalmi says, Pas Tameh or Pas Tahora? And this is what Lieberman makes a whole point about, is not in the Tosefta. Some Rishonim, the way they quote the Tosefta, it looks like it is, but they're actually quoting Yerushalmi. Lieberman is in both in Tosefta's Rishonim and in Tosefta Kipshuta. So, the Yerushalmi says, Pas Tameh or Pas Tahora? If the bread is impure, ritually impure, it means it touched the sheretz and it's Tameh. Or it touched a person who was tame, and it's tame.
Can you eat that?
Yes. Do you eat food that's tame?
We're all tame today.
So, as a general rule, mikar adin, unless you're ochel chula betara, in which case you would probably not eat chulin tame. So, generally speaking, we assume that when it comes to matters of chulin, there's no problem with tumah betara. The only isser of tumah betara are issues related to kachim, and the only isser to become tame. A is a Kohen to Tumas Meis, and B, all Jews, B'shas HaRegel. Other than that, there's no Isser, the Heter, associated with Tumah.
Although eating Truma Tumayah.
I said it, that's Truman Kachim. That's part of Dvarim Kedoshim. What, Eitan, is that?
Also Nida.
There's no Isser in eating Nida, or in becoming a Nida. Or in coming in contact with Tumas Nida, okay? So there are lots of kinds of Tuma, but in terms of Isser V'Heter, you know, there's a story that's told, it's probably apocryphal, that the king, or the ruler, the noble, asked the Gra, if you don't believe in Tumah V'Tahara anymore, why do you keep the laws of Nida? So the Gra pointed to a pasuk, I'm sure it's apocryphal, but he said, Kip aleimim chala davar lamishpat, bein dam ledam, bein din ledin or bein negel anaga. So bein dam ledam is the dam tamei adam tahora. Bein din ledin is dine mamanos, and then bein negel anaga is tumah v'tahara. So you pointed out that you see that dam ledam you know, is a heter. Dam v'dam is not the same thing as bein el negel. That bein el negel is iser v'heter. Bein negel and negel is tumah v'tara. Bein dam v'dam is iser v'heter. Now, of course, pshuta shemikar, I have a suspicion, is that bein dam, all those things actually refer to choshen mishpat. Bein dam v'dam is like in this week's parasha, damim lo, or ein lo damim. And negel and negel could also refer to, what's that? It could refer to wounds. It's you have to. It's hard to tell because in the pasuk at the end of the parasha Shoftim, "Val pihem yeh kol riv v'chol naga," does that mean negoyim or does that mean like riv? In other words, okay. Anyway, so but certainly so that so there's no issue in tumah v'tara of iser v'heter except in the case of the kohen being mitame and an eating kachim, you know, and truma when they are tamei. Sorry if I didn't mention truma the first time around. I'm sorry. Ki palei mimcha davar la'mishpat. Now that's Shoftim. Shoftim, first Aliyah. Okay. Anyway, so then the Yerushalmi says, Pastmeya Pastora, B'chia Bar Abba Omar, Omer Ala Tahora. Okay, so one of the Amorim is no longer the Tosefta. You can tell, it's an Amor already responding. He claims that there's a preference for making it on the Tahora. Okay, you know, if it's one of, if six, you know, if otherwise it's six and one half a dozen of it, it makes perfect sense. Then he says, Pasniki a tmeya, who pas kibar tahora. If you have fine white bread, but it's tmeya, and then coarse bread, but it's tahora. So then he says, that in such a case you have two values that are in conflict, and in such a case they equal out, and there's no preference for one over another. Yosef. No, so there was a notion of people who were, you know, Prushim, they were Ochel and Chuleim B'Tahara. So there certainly is an idea that Pas Tahara is better than Pas Tameh. You know, if it's six of one, half a dozen, then why not? If you walk into a bakery and they say you have two choices, you can pay $1.99 for a loaf of whole wheat bread, which is Tahara, or Tameh, which did you pick? Okay, so today it's not going to, as a matter, but at the time when people were Tahorim, actually, so yeah, you should pick the Pas, which is Tahara. You know, there's a very, I don't know what it means. You have to ask one of the Bible professors here. But kacha yochlu v'nei Yisrael es lachmon tamei. It's in Yecheskel, right? When you, some of you learn Yecheskel? You know what the pasuk, remember the pasuk, what context that's in? You know, you know, I remind you, the Mishnah Avos says that kala shochech davar echa mitamudo es chayim misa. Okay? So that's by Yecheskel when he's told to make his bread. That's the Ezekiel 4:9 bread, right? That's when he's told to make his stuff, all that funny, interesting bread over the dung, and he says, "Oi, yinaf shilam etuma." And then the punchline of that is, "Kacha yochlu v'nei Yisrael lachman tameh." Now, that sound familiar? What's that? You didn't do Ezekiel 4?
That's, oh my goodness.
Fair. Thank you. Okay. So anyway. Fine, so that's the Yerushalmi. So basically it's like the Tosefta. Now, what is striking about the relationship between the Tosefta and the Bavli? Yeah. Nadav? Chaim? Ben? Yes. What's the relationship between the Bavli and the Tosefta here? This Tosefta.
For the past time. I don't understand the question.
What? The Bavli and the Tosefta. Moshe? Jeremy?
It doesn't quote.
Thank you. I was ready to pull a Dr. Soloveitchik here, which is to go down the room. What's the difference between the Bavli and Yerushalmi? He was in Brachos, I think, or something like that. And nobody knew. And he said, there is none. And he stormed out. But I'm told he forgot his jacket and hat, so he had to come back again. There is no relationship. The Bavli doesn't quote the Tosefta. It doesn't seem to know of it. It discusses the issue, but you'll notice it doesn't quote the Tosefta. It's oblivious to the Tosefta. It doesn't have this Tosefta.
It seems to have, I mean, maybe if we go to the Yerushalmi part, the part that's only in the Yerushalmi seems to like the idea there about personal preference seems to be in the Bavli.
Which part? The Pasmei
yeah, Pasmei. The idea of, you know, Eze Mehen Shiyosi Yivarev, that's kind of what Rabbi Thea and Rabbi
Thea
are.
It's not enough.
To Rabbi Chia's where in the Flamitesim and Al? What? No, first it's Rabbi Chia Hagadol, probably the second one. You have no Flamitesim and Aleph? There's nothing to do with our Sugya. Yeah, there's nothing to do with our Sugya. There's nothing to do with it. And you know, until you start to have a Kedima, and that's just the same bread, Shlema, but that too has no relation. There's no relationship to the Tosefta.
Okay,
nothing.
No.
Nothing. It's like he doesn't know that Tosefta exists. Now, I did sort of mention, allude to this. I didn't state it in those terms when I pointed out that remember the line about Kusman, the Bavli doesn't know about either. Not only not as a Tosefta, doesn't even discuss it. The Bavli never says Sorin and Kusman. You make on the Sorin because it's Mimin Shiva. And I suggested last week the possibility is because the Bavli holds Kusman is Mimin Shiva, and that's why he could never utter such a statement. Anyway, putting that aside, so there is no relationship, and that in itself is striking. And more said, it's not just the Bavli, at least their citations of the Amoraim, including Rabbi Yochanan, seem to be unaware of this Tosefta, despite the fact that the Yerushalmi is aware of it. As the Amoraim don't cite it, not just the Gemara doesn't cite it. Okay, so you really can't talk about the Bavli and the Tosefta in the same breath. The Tosefta and the Yerushalmi obviously are Olam Mekana Echon. The Bavli, you know, dances to the beat of its own drummer here. Okay. So now, what does the Bavli have to say? Who would like to read for me? Nadav, go ahead.
Ismar, have you
okay, now, just a comment about Girsa. Itmar suggests what? That is okay. Yes, and Itmar, if you wanted to speak about formulation or form of the Gemara, Itmar usually presents an issue and then presents the Amoraic positions on it. Okay, going back to the last sugya for a moment, just for, you know, a way of looking at it, if you wanted to present the straight out machalokas, it would have been Itmar pasatznuma bika'ara. And then somebody else would have said something else. That's the way Itmar usually presents. Okay, but the fact that it says Itmar Hibil Fanam, I'll tell you what the alternative. The alternative is some of the Kisveyat, I don't remember how many, simply start with Petitin Ushleimin. Petitin Ushleimin. And that would suggest what? And I think I said this yesterday, Ari? It's the Kinir Shapastuma, that they're inherently connected. Right? They're inherently connected. Jeremy?
Does Itmar usually present earlier on line?
I don't know. I don't think so. That's a good question. Earlier, That's a good thing to check. It's a good thing to check.
I feel like it does.
You might be right only in this. I mean, the question is who is presenting the Itmar? That would actually be a very, very interesting test case, because if it only, let's see, okay, take off your black hat for a moment and put on your baseball cap. I don't know what, that's not even a good term. Take off your base madrash hat and put on your library hat for a moment. Okay, well, I'll test you, okay? If in fact, what? No, that's if you're going to cheat, okay? What would happen if you discovered that Itmar, what would you use this as evidence for if Itmar only appeared with the earlier Amoraim?
Later Amoraim quoted or preserved their names in that way?
No. There's something much more significant, Chaim.
It's an earlier song.
Okay, so that's sort of like, you know, that's sort of like telling you, you know, when the entire, you know, World Trade Center collapsed, that the antenna on top fell off. It did fall off, but the rest of the building came down also.
No, I'm saying the point is that the Stam that's quoting the Amoraim.
I'm sorry if you didn't like the analogy, it just had something to mind. Like, what you said is true, but it's sort of missing the forest.
No, so the point is that the Stam that's quoting this is going to be earlier.
Yes, but more than that, what it could, given the prevalence of the Sugyas of Itmar, it tells you that you have. If that were really true, and I don't know if it is, it would tell you that you have a ton of material whose basic initial composition is early. You know, early meaning late Amoraic. I know. In other words, it's just not that it's an early stam, but in other words, it tells you more broadly. You know, it's not finding a line here, a line there, where you can say, oh, it's an early stam. It's not even the stam so much. Yes, itmar in some sense is the stam speaking. It's the whole presentation of the sugya is early, even if parts of it could be later. It's not a matter of question of anti-Nusner. Nusner's peripheral halivni is important. You know, Nusner's views are peripheral. I mean, his views, you know, are generally they're useful primarily as foils for dissertations and things like that. But the basic thesis of halivni, that's a very important question of, is it really, you know, composed in layers, or is it something that comes later? So I don't know the answer to that question, Jeremy. It's an excellent question, but anyway.
If that was true, you're saying that it would show that we were already in an earlier time period than we assumed.
In other
words, already was a
or the framework of the sugya. Now there's the shell of the sugya. You know, there may be commentary added later. There may be perush added later. But as opposed to simply having a collection of statements, what one place is referred to as the Gemara, Kavitu Le Migmar, it's Gemara in Erevin. So you may actually have presentations a little bit more developed. The fact that you're not getting it, if you don't get any itmars with later, I'm all right. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, but generally assume that most of the organization of the sugya is done later.
I don't know what it really depends who you ask. That's how Livni's approach. You know, Albeck, I think, would claim that no, that it really is, created, and my gut tells me, actually. So, all right. So anyway, either way, now put back on the base matter chat, okay, and now back to this. Itmar, heviu lefnei petitin ushleimim. Go ahead. Okay, so he says that you mevarich al apsitim upoter es ashleimen. Now this is the first problem. What does this mean? Mevarich has two possible meanings, and I don't mean
you may, you must.
Yes, those are two possible meanings. Okay, now we're not gonna make a decision now. Discuss that. I want to first just read through the Gemara to the end of Lamed Tesvan Beis. I want to just highlight the issues that the Rishonim have to grapple with, because that's if you've been through all the Tosfos already, have sort of figured out, but it's helpful to go back over it twice and a third time till the issues start to become clear in your head where the Rishonim are coming from. That's all it means. It Amar. And for those who took Targumim know it's the Yispa Aleph. Anyway, sorry. Yes.
Is there anybody who understands?
That would be anybody but a Yatno, for those who are new. Okay.
Is there anybody who seems to understand this line as being that you're chayav?
Is there anybody who understands that way?
Yeah, I mean, at least in this line.
Yes. Rashi?
No, but that's only based off of his first case.
Raivin? Ritva? Okay. Would you like anybody else? I don't know anybody else actually who says it that way. There are three ways of reading this statement. The three ways you're going to see read it. May, must. Rashi's may, must.
Right.
Tosfos says may, and the Raiv and the Ritva say may. Now, this is essential. Why is this point? Okay, so for those who have been through the Gemara, why is this point so important, whether it's may or must? What ramifications does that have? I don't mean, obviously, there's ramifications, may or must, but what ramifications in reading and constructing the sugya does it have, Chaim?
What the suggestion that the Mishnah is reflecting?
No. Something, because that's a little ambiguous. Yes, maybe, but something more compelling. That was totally incomprehensible to you, wasn't it? You couldn't read my mind and fill in the sentences in between?
I think I got it.
What's wrong with you? You've been here long enough, Chaim. Okay. So what late? There's something later that more definitely hinges upon. Yochai, you are correct. That is one issue. There's something that's even more striking, because it's what pushes the Raivid over the edge. People already do the Balamor on the Raivid? Okay. So, yes? No, the new Balamor on Raivid. The ones I sent out last night. Okay, so it's fine. It's okay if you haven't gotten there, but something. But you'll see this, even if you did Tosfos, you'll see this later. What else comes up? Yirei Elokim Yetzei Yidei Shneihem. Right? Maniach Prusa B'toch HaShleima. Now, if you have a machlokes where one Amora says may and the other Amora says must, how are you Yotzei Yidei Shneihem?
Must.
You follow the Amora who says must, because the other one doesn't care. Now, if that's the case, whoever, when he said Yirei Elokim Yetzei Yidei Shneihem, and he comes up with a new Eitza, which is not to follow one over the other, but Maniach Prusa B'toch HaShleima Omavarech, it can't be referring to a machlokes in which one Amora said may and one Amora said must. Because there was a simple solution, and you don't have to give the guy all this praise because he made shalom ba'olam. Is I could have made shalom myself also. If you want, if you say this, you know, that this food is treif, and he says that it's kosher. If I want to be yotzei d'shtem, I don't eat it. What's the problem? Chaim,
how is that issue more fundamental than the first issue of which machlokes are trying to apply the mishnah?
Why? Well, because the second one, it has ramifications understanding l'halacha, what's trying to be accomplished. Right. I agree. The other issue is that in the case. Okay, so I acknowledge they're both relevant. I agree to that. Okay. But I'm more struck by the latter one. Nadav?
I think in this context, may kind of has two meanings. Also, it could mean if this is the scenario, then whichever one, it doesn't matter. Or it could mean whichever one you like better. You must make the bracha. There's no like definitive one, but it's whichever one you like. In that case, doing.
I'll grant you that as well. But I don't know if anybody actually posits that particular. I mean, well, that is a must. That is a must. That is a must, really. Because what you're saying is, if you really like the shlema better, and it's a shlema. So everybody's going to say that you make it on the shlema. I think less man depol like that, if it's really chaviv to you. Okay. So then the only shaila is, let's say it's not, the other one's chaviv to you. So then your choices are may or must. The only way you get a hybrid is when it's a size question. Right? But the point is that no longer is a may. That's a must. You just change the details, but that becomes a new must. Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara says, okay. Now, who said that last line? Not sure. Okay. Now, the way it's presented here. Well, so your truth is. Hold on, hold on before you get to that. So you should know. So if you say, if you have the Girsa with Divrei HaKol, then it's not Rabbi Yochanan speaking, that's clear. However, there is more than one manuscript which is actually lacking it. No, because when you quote, you don't quote Rav Huna saying X, Rav Yochanan says Y, Rav Yochanan says, but everybody agrees by Z.
You could say, but don't think that my opinion, don't.
Oh, no, but you wouldn't say, you wouldn't use the term, you wouldn't say Divrei HaKol. Rav Yochanan doesn't say Divrei HaKol, unless he's speaking about an earlier Machlok Samaram, never when he's one of the members of the party. So there are nuschos that are simply missing, that Rav Yochanan Rama Shlema Mitzvah and Ramovchar, and Prusa Shalchitim Shlema and Asaorim, Mivarech Ala Prusa Shalchitim, Uportas Shlema Shalsaorim. Okay, so it's not clear whether it's Rabbi Yochanan's, really it's Rabbi Yochanan's words, or in fact it's the Gemara, or it's the Gemara saying that everybody would agree to this position. Certainly, either way, the Rabbi Yochanan would hold that that you make a bracha on the Prusa, and it would follow, even if it was Rabbi Yochanan speaking, that Rav Huna would agree to that. Rav Huna said that even when it wasn't Chita Nesorim, you can make on the Prusa. Okay, now there's another problem, though. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Being
cholik on Rabbi Yochanan? No. Someone to say the Ketanai is. What they're saying is that Mamer of Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, you mean Rabbi Yochanan said Divrei HaKol and he meant all the Tanaim? Nah. Who says that? No, a number of many of the Rishonim say that the Kitanoi is saying that which Rabbi Yochanan said, or that which the Gemara said was agreed upon by Rabbi Yochanan itself, is actually Machlokas Tanaim. I'd be surprised to see anybody who says Rabbi Yirmiyah Abba.
Because then,
I understand. Yeah, the problem is how can you... That's such a... I don't remember anybody saying that, but it's particularly... Why is that such a dachuk interpretation? Yael suggested that maybe a different call, Rabbi Yochanan said, man, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and the Mishnah and Trumas. Why is that such a difficult... And that's what he... And that's Rabbi Yochanan speaking. Divrei HaKol, Rabbi Yehudan, and the Chachamim. Why is that such a difficult interpretation? He wants to suggest that when Rabbi I said to Nadav that you can't say Divrei HaKol is Rabbi Yochanan's words, because Rabbi Yochanan is not going to say Divrei HaKol referring to himself and Rav Huna. Divrei HaKol is about when you're talking about somebody else's machlokas, so you say they argue here, but in this case, Divrei HaKol, whatever. So he suggested, yeah, Rabbi Yochanan, when he said Divrei HaKol, was a reference to the Mishnah in Trumas.
But they never, Amorim never say Divrei HaKol. It's a standard standard.
I have to check whether that's true. I'm not sure whether that's the case. But more to the point, nobody's mentioned the Mishnah until now. We had no clue in the discussion Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan that this has anything to do with the Mishnah in Trumas. So Rabbi Yochanan just to say Divrei HaKol. Yeah, unless you're arguing that Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan's machlokas was originally constructed on the Mishnah Trumas and just that it wasn't cited within it, it's a little bit difficult. So, okay. So, anyway, so now the Gemara... Now, there's one other problem that arises, and because we're sloppy readers, we don't realize it immediately, most of us. And what is that? The shift in terminology. How many of you... What is the shift in terminology? Pesisin to Prusa. How many of you noticed the shift in terminology on your own? Well, I'm impressed. I didn't notice it on my own. I had to look at Tosa six times, and once he's talking about that, I realized, oh, yeah, they do shift the terminology. Okay, good. Because I just assumed, Pesisin and Prusa, okay, it's two different words, but it means the same thing.
Are they the same thing?
Well, that's the machlokas that we showed him. Okay, so you read, you know, and I mean, so did you assume there might be a difference, or no, you just assumed there was a different word?
The same thing.
Oh, okay, fine.
So, plural, right?
What?
Plural.
Yeah, I know, but there's much. But
the truth is that I mean, etymologically, you could make an argument for them being significantly different, differently than the machlokes that would present them.
Yes, you want to explain to us what's the etymological difference?
Not that I'm an expert on the meaning of the words, but teaching sounds like it would be small pieces.
So you're coming to the opposite conclusion of Rabbeinu Tam.
Not the way the Rishonim take it, but it sounds to me like Petitim would be small.
I disagree with you. I think the difference between Pesisim and Prusa is a more obvious linguistic difference. Pesisim means when you take a whole piece of bread and you break it up into pieces. Prusa means you cut off something. Halo faros lara ev lachmecha.
One is Kotot HaTapetim and one is Chituch instead of Betzia.
Not chitach instead of betzia. Paros could also be betzia. It just means that as opposed to taking a bread and breaking it up into pieces.
Right.
Instead, paros means to break off a piece. However, you do it by whether you do it by cutting or by breaking. Either way, that's what
and
I think the difference
end,
between
this. And also sounds like it would be plural. But.
Well, that's where's pesisin coming from? Obviously, pasoso sapitim. Right. So anyway. So, okay, but you have to realize that there could fundamentally be a major difference between, you know, Pesisin and Shleimim versus Prusa and Shleima, other than the fact that one's plural and one's saying the other. Okay, but right now, maybe there's no difference. I don't know. Fine, so Amar of Yimri Bar Abba, go ahead, Nadav.
Amar of Yimri Bar Abba, Ketanat. Tormin Batzal Katan Shleim, Kolo Chatiba Talgadol.
Okay, so when you separate Truma, you have to separate a certain portion. And you're not allowed to separate min ha-gavrua if you do the truma ischal, but you violate an avera. How do we know that? Because v'lo sisu alav chet bahari mechem ischel bo mimenu im eno kadosh nesios chet lama. So if you're supposed to separate chelbo, chelev does not mean fat, it means choice. In the context of a karban, the fat part was once upon considered the choicest, I suspect because it had the greatest concentration of calories and it tasted good.
If you were to look at the modern meat industry, you'd still think that.
Okay, it's true. The marbleized meat tastes
right.
Very good. Chelev and other, but chelev means the choice. So the Torah says that you won't violate chet. You won't be no se chet bahari mechemes chelbo mimenu when you separate the chelev from it. It's choice. So obviously, because you're supposed to take the good parts, if you don't take the chelev parts, so you are no sechet. But if the truma is not kadosh, you just do it again. If the truma is kadosh, it's too late. You did the avera. The truma is chal. It's not tevel anymore. You give it to the kohen. since the Tanaim are discussing, what do you do when you have to separate truma and you have to choose in between? You know, you have two choices. You know, which is the greater of the goods? So the first sheet that the Tanakhama said, it's better to separate one whole onion rather than one half of a large onion. Now, what? How big is a large onion? How big is a large onion? A large onion is bigger than a small onion. Okay, let's start with that. Good, it's very simple. The next step is, there are two possibilities, presumably. Really, there could be three, but nobody, I think, entertains the third. It's possible that half a large onion is smaller than a small onion. It's possible that, it is possible, Chaim, isn't it?
Yes.
No.
And there might even be a reason still to desire half of a large onion if it was smaller than a whole onion. However, you probably wouldn't be, maybe it tastes better. Think about this. Machlokes Rishonim, why is the batzel gadol better than, why is the chatzi batzel gadol than a batzel katan? So one sheet is because it's larger. Which is a second possibility, that half a big onion is larger still than a small onion. The third possibility is they're the same size. But the other sheet of Rishonim is the reason why half a big onion is bigger is they're the same size, but it tastes better. But if that's the case, you can make the same argument even if we're smaller, right? But the two possibilities that are seriously considered by the Rishonim is either half a big onion is the same size as a small onion, or it's still larger than a small onion. Now, the argument would, of course, be which is the correct interpretation and why? Mikhail?
It's got to be larger.
Why?
Because otherwise, no. If it's the same amount and there's a concern of spoiling, then even when the filling's right there, wouldn't you want to give them something that would be longer? You want to give them something that's misguided if they're the same size.
Not if he's going to use it and it's better. Okay, so the first thing is I think you're wrong on the first part. Regardless of the second part, I'm not going
to
assess what the coin would want.
But
why, Ari?
I think, if you follow Rashi,
must actually. No. Let's just look at the Mishnah on its own. Forget how the Gemara uses it. You read that Mishnah. You were here last semester and you listened to my Musa and you started learning Mishnayos and you're up to Trumas now and you learn Trumas and you read that and what do you think? Nada? Okay, I told you I want it to be the same size. Why? I think the Rishonim even say this, but some of them may say this.
Well, I'm disagreeing, so I guess.
Okay.
I think it's the word kashuv. It seems to be about size, not taste. The Gemara uses the word kashuv.
Really?
Then it works perfectly with the case of the fikin versus sarin.
Would you?
Yeah, in quality.
If it's
the same size.
Yes.
Which is good.
Yes.
Nice.
What? You're agreeing with me, but I don't want to talk about that yet. You're talking about how the Gemara uses. I just want to know on its own terms.
Independently of the other.
Now, I could be wrong here, but if I wanted to simply indicate that you're dealing with a smaller hole and a larger broken, I would have used, you know, batzel paros or some other term, if it exists. That's the question, if it exists. Rather than saying chatzi batzel gadol. The key is, it's not that it's half a large onion. Really? Really? No. If you want to ask me the question of whether or not there is no other term that you could have used, maybe that would undermine my proof.
I don't think it would, because I think what you're saying is it doesn't matter about chatzi. What matters about is it this gadol? What if it said avalo chatzi batzal? Then obviously we'd realize that the chatzi batzal was the same size as the batzal shalem.
If there wouldn't otherwise,
because otherwise there wouldn't be a question. So it could have just said chatzi batzal, right? The point is the gadol.
No. But you see, if the you're arguing against me.
No, I'm arguing for you.
No,
they're opposite linguistic attack.
I'm saying, let's say the Mishnah said for me batzal katan, avalo chatzi batzal. For me batzal shalim, avalo chatzi batzal. Then we'd know that the chatzi batzal is bigger than the batzal
or the same size
shalim, or they were the same size. The point is the gadol No, not that it was synthesized. The point of gadol makes it about taste, isn't it?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I think I'm not. Maybe I'm not convinced anymore.
See, if the gadol were in the Mishnah, then we would have no. But putting the gadol there makes us say it must be about taste. Otherwise
why can't, but you know, but see, I'm not sure, someone could say that, if I'm not correct about the point of chatzi, mm-hmm. I mean, if there is another term, I could just argue, I would argue adarabah, and as it, I would argue what the Mishnah is saying is that better a smaller hole than a larger half. Now, meaning, if chatzi just means part of, not half of, and there's no other way to say a broken onion, so then I understand why it says chatzi batzel gadol. It's the in other words, dafka, the batzel is still larger.
But then what's the havamina that you would give the half?
Because it's no.
Where's the indication that it's higher quality in terms of rather than just higher quantity? Because there's got to be something, you know, adif about the chatzi that there would be a havamina that you're throwing from that.
Because the possibility is real that a large onion tastes better than a small. And as we know that within various things that you have different quality. In other words,
it's just a matter of quality.
It could be. I mean, if you're assuming the onions are the same quality, Moshe, and Mishnah has a word that could for parus by onions, you know, and I don't know if it does. Maybe that's why it, you know, that's what you know Shlomo's sort of asking. So, but if it does have a word, what? I don't know. I'm not sure. If it has another word and it uses chatzi, I assume then that would indicate that you're dealing with the same size, but there are different qualities. So one of them is shalem, but one of them is part. One of them is from the species of batzel gadol.
I mean, that might make sense also in addition here. Maybe I changed my mind. That it says make sure to say a complete one that's katan, so that you realize that. You might just assume that a complete onion would be bigger than half of an onion, but that's why they're telling you that it's a butzel. You know that when you cut it in half or you take some part of it, it's what's left is the same size as a complete one.
Yeah, but you haven't proven that. That's a possibility.
Well,
but
you have, explain why it has to be the complete one has to be cut rather than just complete.
Okay, but Nadav.
So you said that if we're assuming. There's no difference in taste, right?
Then it has to be size.
Then it has to be size, correct. But then, if there was no difference in taste, the Mishnah would not have to use the terms katan and gadol. Because then it had to be size, like you said. We wouldn't need
I
to
see
know.
What you're saying. You're saying
the
just
fact,
that...
The fact that it includes the terms katan and gadol means that there has to be something about those...
Of course the possibility is there. It's just to tell you the basic din. Well, I guess, yes.
No, then you don't... Can leave
that's what I'm saying, you have to know that it's gadol, so
yeah.
When you cut it in half...
I'm
okay.
Is that why Rashi sees in Rav Huna's statement that Titin might be, considering Rav Titin might be larger than Shalem?
No, hold on. Well, let's wait before we connect it. Let's wait a second.
They must be larger.
Let's wait before we connect it. Okay, so now, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? He says better to take the larger, the half of the larger onion. So now the Gemara wants. So he prefer the Chachamim prefers Shleima. He prefers Chatzi Batel Gadol. He doesn't care about Shleima. So the Gemara says as follows. My love, Rav Yirmiyah says. Okay, so right now the Gemara wants to say that one of them prefers Shalem and one of them prefers Chashuv. Now, who's the Ketanoi going on then? Who does Rav Yirmiyah trying to line up? So here, Chaim, yes, you come to your point, which is, go back to, there are two possibilities, obviously. Rav Huna versus Rabbi Yochanan. And the other is Chitim versus Seorim. Now, let me just add in one side comment, because I should have said this before. There is another Girsa here, which I think is the correct one, even though it's only one manuscript has it. Lema Kitanoi, not Kitanoi. Why? Because it's rejected. Normally, the normal procedure, kitanoi, stands. Lema kitanoi is always rejected. Whenever the Gemara says lema, the answer is no. Right? If the answer is yes, it just asserts it. So anyway, yes.
Does that mean that if there's an Amora, who, for instance, on the parsing, we had kitanoi in bold, like an Amora actually said it, right?
That's Rav Yirmiyah Barabbas speaking, yeah.
Both times the Amora says Ketanai, but one time the Gemara inserts Lema to help the reader? everything.
Well, maybe that's why. I take it back. No, I think now I know why someone put in Lema Kitanoi. It may be that, in other words, in this case, Rav Yirmi Bar Abba said it, the Gemara rejects it. When the Gemara proposes it, it always comes as Lema Kitanoi. That may be why, right? Okay, fair enough. So how would it line up then? So if it's going on the first half, then Rav Huna holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and the Tanakama, Rabbi Yochanan is like the Tanakama. Rabbi Yochanan says you have to make the bracha on the Shlema over the Petitim Gedolim, let's say. And Rav Huna, and that's like the Tanakama who says that you have to give Batzel Katan Shalem. And the Rav Huna who says that no, that Mevarech ala Petitim. So he holds like Rabbi Yehuda says that you have Chatzi Batzel Gadol. Now, all right, so immediately that does not work if you assume that Rav Huna's position is may as opposed to Rav Huna's position being must. Because if that's the case, Rav Huna doesn't say, in the Mishnah the assumption is you must do one or the other. All right, but if in the Machalokas Amorayim it's may or must, so that would not work. Okay, Nadav?
Maybe that's because in the Mishnah, since we're giving it to somebody else, we have to use someone else's objective definition of Chashuv. But here, we can still be saying Chashuv Adif because you get to choose what Chashuv means to you. Right.
But no, but the way that we show and present that possibility is not must chashuv, but you can do either one. There is,
right.
There's that position.
Won't, must chashuv?
I don't know. I haven't seen such a position. Ari?
You say that the may option is not saying that all things being equal, since all things are equal, you can just choose either one. It may be saying that in a case where the petita are more chashuv, you don't think that you shouldn't. Don't think that you shouldn't make the bracha on that one. You should make the bracha on that one. I mean, the may is not saying.
But
it doesn't matter. The may is just saying there are cases where you must make it on one and you must make it on the other.
And that's not the way Tosfos presents it. Tosfos presents it as, im yirtze, v'hu adin al shleimim im yirtze.
That's not what Rashi says.
No, that's Rabbi Tam. It's Rabbeinu Tam. So, you know, unless you want to, you know, create this tautology of whichever one I make the bracha on, that proves that's the one I really wanted. And therefore I had to do it on that.
That
doesn't sound like that. Right? It sounds like you want this one, you want that one, either one. I mean, you know, presumably, it's also problematic because, of course, if it's your choice, you're going to make the bracha on the one that you want to make the bracha on. If we leave it up, you don't have to be a social scientist to assume that if we give people a choice, they're going to make the bracha on the one that they want to make the bracha on.
Oh, okay.
Right? I mean, that's what you're saying. That's what it really boils down to. I mean, that's what it really boils down to. Remember, what type of bread are we talking about here? They're both wheat. They're both pasnikia or paskibar. They're the same thing. It's just one is bigger and one is whole. When you sit down, do you have a particularly strong preference? I'm sure the psychologists could actually work on this. You know, what is human? If I give you a choice of the two, which would you do? Would you eat the titim because you'll preserve the shlema somehow? Because in your mind it's like, oh, I have a hole? I don't know. But normally, generally speaking, let me raise that. May as well throw in one other different question here. Is there any reason why someone would prefer the petita? Ari?
Right. Happens all the time. You go to a restaurant and they put down pieces of sliced bread at your table, and then when you go to wash, there are those little tiny whole rolls that, like, at the washing station. You don't choose.
You get whole rolls over there?
Right.
No.
Wow, what restaurant gives you whole rolls?
Whoa.
Table, those little tiny
What? Whoa, hold on. You gotta explain it to me. I go to restaurants too, but I don't know this. Maybe.
For instance, if you go to a restaurant and they give you like bread at your table, they usually give you like slices of nice bread.
Right.
And when you go to the wash station at some restaurants, like I know in Israel, like some restaurants,
they're whole rolls.
They're not whole rolls.
They're
tiny.
They
have them at
Duggies
also.
The size of large
bottles.
Yeah.
Those aren't petite.
No, they're whole.
There's a reason people don't eat that, because
they're
everyone else touches
them.
Okay. Without getting, all right, under ordinary circumstances, when you're at the table, if you have a petitin and a shleiman, why would you want to make on the petitim? What? It's the same bread.
No, people make bread differently.
Yeah, but if you have season already, you're not going to cut the shalem and make it go stale faster.
So that is a possibility not raised, but that's sort of the more obvious part of the observation I made before. But well, no, Michal, what you just said is wrong. I take that back. What you just said is wrong. Why is what you just said wrong? Now, what is your plan in this case? What are you going to eat?
Both
of them.
Right, but you know, why make the other one start to go staler at the beginning of the meal? You know, if you ever have a piece of challah at the beginning of a meal and you don't finish it after amotzi, it's stale by the end of the meal. You want to make sure
that you eat it. I have to tell you, it takes a while to get stale. Usually an hour later, it's not stale.
Is this necessarily the case that you're planning that you're at that point you're planning on eating both?
Yes. Otherwise, you break from the one. That was the point I made at the beginning of Shir today. You make the bracha on the one that you plan to eat.
No, but it could very well be that you may decide that you're too full by the end of eating the prusa.
But we're talking about what your plan is. The assumption, if at the beginning you know that you may not eat both, and then you decide you want to eat one because you may not eat the other, then that's the one you make the bracha on. Period. The given in this entire discussion is that you plan on eating both pieces of bread. Ayal?
No one's going to prefer to eat the smaller one. No one's going to prefer to eat the bigger one. It's an issue of no one's going to have a preference for either one. Sometimes you make a breath on this, sometimes you make a breath on that. And so then they're saying whether there should be a preference or not. It's not a question of why.
Yeah, but I'm asking, why would there be a preference for the... For the petitim? No. Okay, Ruben?
We're naturally drawn towards the one which is easier to take. For example, say you had a candle with one candle, and you had little pieces of candle with little toothpicks on them. Say you even had one, the other one was the cut up slices of candle. Instead of taking a whole slice and working at it, you'll go like this and this and this.
Okay, so I would agree with you, although not with your example. In other words, the only reason why the example is not a perfect example is because there's very little tircha involved in breaking the bread. You know, if you have to cut it, but that is actually a very important start, because that is very similar to what the Ravid says. The Ravid offers actually more a halachic rationale, if I recall correctly, but the Ravid has a line along the following line, The Ravid says, if I can find the Ravid, where it's Ein Dalin. Yeah, he says, Mishum Dimikarva Hana Sayu. It's Hana. I mean, it's really the same thing as you said. It's Hana is much closer because you don't have to take the effort to break the bread. You just grab the
petisim. Right, if you have a jar of pickles,
now,
you can open a new one. Once the open one still has some left.
What?
Like if you have like a jar of pickles that has like two left, and you have a new jar of pickles that you're going to open.
Well, no, that's for the reason you gave before me, Claude. But here the point.
Also the same thing as tirka. You don't go to the trouble of like wrenching the top off the jar.
You're going
to
open.
No,
it
you
anyway.
Don't go to the trouble.
For the meal, you set yourself up. You open the top.
If you know that you're going to eat more pickles, I mean, it's just the reason why you don't is because maybe you don't know you're going to eat seven pickles, so first you eat four, and then if you're hungry, you open the next jar. But I think that's the reason why people do that. It's not. In this particular case,
and maybe like a canned food where you use a can.
Anyway, but so Ruben's point is essentially what the Ravid says.
I understand why the question. Why do you want to find the reason?
Because there are Rishonim who say you have to make. They're looking for a reason. Why should you have to make on the petition? Why would somebody say must?
For those people who think that's must.
That's what I want to know. What would the reason be? The reason could be because it's more convenient. It may be that once the bread has already been broken, it's just easier.
It really depends on the type of food.
We're talking only about bread.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying like bringing examples from other types of food.
No, but he's right. I mean, it's true by bread. It might be true by bread. Right?
It might not. I mean, maybe you want to have a bigger piece that you can keep on tearing off small pieces rather than having a bunch of small pieces that you can't control the size of them. Maybe you want to have...
Who said small pieces? Here, the point is you have a loaf of bread that's broken already. It's easier to get off pieces. It's larger than the whole...
Is the...
I'm not saying it has to be. I'm just telling you that's one way of explaining why a person would have to make the bracha on the psisin, because it's mikarva hanasayu. That's all. Okay. So anyway... You guys are a tough bunch. Okay. Go back to frontal shear here, okay? What's that?
No more food at
shear get-togethers. I'm gonna next time you come, you know, I'm gonna set up the bread, and you have to eat the right thing. If you eat the wrong thing, like, you're gonna get an electric shock or something.
Well, actually, there's tests like that. Like the table full of food, instead of having a frontal lecture, right? Then you can have you also have an oral for hair, or you could have a table full of food and say, okay, make your brachos.
Okay, there's a thought. All right. So anyway, so one possibility is to say that the Tanai is the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan, but it's only going to work if you say that the machlokas is may versus. Is must. Is that Rav Huna Shita, is that you must have the psisin. Now. Let's just see. In other words, what you're saying, if you say that psisin, I mean, it's a strange way of looking at it, even if you say the same size that you have to, the Ravid presumably wouldn't matter. I mean, what would the Ravid say if the psisin were smaller? Oh. It shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter. Except that I might argue that for the Ravid, the Psisim have to be at least as large as the Shleimim, because otherwise, given a choice of the two, in choice of the Betzia, you might want to make it on the Shleimim, but as a matter of principle, if I have to give you one over the... In other words, I'm going to give you two loaves of bread right now. If I'm going to give you two loaves of bread, the Ravid would say that if they're equal size, you're going to choose the Psisim because it's easier to eat. Therefore, even if you eat both, you make the bracha on the Psisim. He might say that if the Psisa is smaller, then you still make on the Shlema because everybody would want the Shlema, you know, as if they have to choose between one and two. It's not clear. He doesn't, you know, fully explain, go down that road.
Is that the way the Tosfos is misunderstanding Rashi? Or misinterpreting Rashi? Because it seems to me that Rashi leaves the possibility for it to be either bigger or smaller.
Rashi does have big... Rashi says...
He never says
no.
Anything but equal. And Tosfos quotes Rashi as saying equal
or
bigger.
I assume Rashi means equal or bigger.
He can't possibly mean smaller.
I can't tell you he can't possibly mean smaller, but I think...
Nobody would ever say Petitian is smaller.
It's hard to imagine that, yeah.
Shlema? Is the
Shleman
in plural because the Petitian are plural?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So if you were to explain Rav Huna as must, so then you could say he values Chashuv, and it's easy, I don't know what makes it Chashuv. So either because it's bigger, or because it's mekarva hanasayu, something like that. Assuming you hold it, you must make the bracha on it. But if you hold that Rav Huna holds it's optional, then that can't be the machlokas atanoim. The alternative is to say that Rabbi Yochanan's point, or the Gemara's point that prusa shochitin takes kedima over shlema shel sarim is a ketanoi. So that then what you'd be saying is that what was asserted as a davar pashut or as Rabbi Yochanan's suggestion, the Gemara is actually saying, Rabbi Yirmiyah saying actually is emachlokas atanoim. Now that, by the way, will work better. It will work better. Anyone know what generation Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba is? I have to bet he's something like third, second, something like that. What?
Got the chart.
So check the chart. I don't have the chart with me. Now, the reason why that of course is only going to work if you assume. What does that tell you about the line about prusa shel chitim and shlema shel sarim? It has to be from Rabbi Yochanan's words, because if it's the stomach, the Gemara speaking, in all probability, how can he be responding to it? But it depends what generation he is. That's what I want to know. Ben, what can you say?
It's hard to find.
And the PDF. Rava quotes him quoting Rav. So then he's second or third. In which case, it's almost compelling that you may have to take out the words Divrei HaKol Mevarech, Divrei HaKol, and it's part of Rabbi Yochanan's statement that Shlema Mitzvah Namuvchar, Avo Prusa Shochitim, Shlema Nesorim, Mevarech Ala Prusa Shochitim, Prusa Shlema Shosorim. What's that? Yes. It's a little strange, but if you're going to say Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba is going on that, then that's what you're going to have to say.
As opposed to Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba speaking on Rav Huna's statement?
Yeah, if he's responding to Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, then that makes sense. It's plausible that he could be responding to them.
Not to the second piece of it.
correct. If that second piece is not Rabbi Yochanan speaking, but that's the stem of the Gemara, it is far less likely that he's responding to that, which would mean then the Machlokes HaTanaim has to go back.
But even on the Mishnah itself doesn't be responding. The Mishnah itself was talking about.
No, forget the Mishnah. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba is the one who's responding, not the Mishnah.
Right, I understand, but the Mishnah, the, whatever the Mishnah he's bringing, is talking about the same. If it's a batzal and batzal, it's not chitin and
saonim. No. So now you have this. Now you have a separate question. Let's assume for the moment it's possible to it's going on chitim and saorim. Does the comparison make sense? One is chitim prusa versus shlema of saorim, two different meanings. The other is batzal versus batzal. So the truth is, if batzel gadol is fundamentally a different onion in terms of its flavor, even if it's oso min technically, but let's say the bigger ones, you do have such things. Right. I don't know, but the big ones are,
less concentrated.
What's that?
The bitterness, the sharpness is less concentrated.
Is that true generally in onions?
I think it's generally true in like most fruits. Larger the fruit.
Okay, but so I don't know if it's true, but suppose for the moment that the bigger onions are sweeter, the way I think the Balei Tosfos say it, or it tastes better, whatever it is. So that's not an unreasonable analogy to chitim. So even if technically, botanically, it's the same min, the fact is they taste different. So for these purposes, it's like it's shnei minim. And so if you hold that you make on the chatzi batzel gadol, then you're holding like Rav Huna chashiv. You're holding that you make the bracha on the chitim. And if you hold that you make it better to make it on the shlema, even though it's a smaller one, so that means you're holding that you would make on the sarim. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Rav. You just highlight that? That's
really cool.
Okay. Amora second surah Talmud Chaver L'Rav. Okay. Two of them. The second one. Oh yeah. Come on. He's a Talmud Rav Huna Rav Yochanan. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba's got to be qualifying that. I'd like someone to compile the data to see if how frequently how many times he's quoting Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. You said he was quoting whom, Ari?
Rav Yirmiyah
Bar Abba quotes Rav.
Quotes Rav.
The Gemara in Ksubos about.
Rava quotes Rav Yirmiyah
Bar Abba quoting Rava, says it's like 30 days or something, or he looks like quotes Rav Yochanan, says like 15, or he looks like Shmuel, saying it's like even more than that. I'm guessing this is the one who's a Talmud of fundamentally of Rav Yochanan. I wonder if when he quotes Rav, he's really quoting. Do you know more of instances, or that's the case you know of? So the question is whether or not that's Vayer of Hunan just not stated. I don't know. But in this case, so I have to figure, you have to look throughout Josh to see who's he quoting all the time. The claim of Rav Yol's pamphlet is that it's of Hunan, he's Talmud Hunan Yochanan, but you have to just see.
There's another Gemara where Rav Yosef explains to Rav Zera why Shmuel is a good source for Rav Shmuel, because he says he records inaccuracies in the name of Rav Shmuel, and he quotes Yerav Rava, who says he's not sure whether he heard from Rav Shmuel.
And, all right, so they may be wrong in their claim he's really Talmud Rav Huna Rav Yochanan. Okay, but either way, I don't know. So I don't know what they're basing that upon. But it, certainly he's early enough that. At best, you're lucky if he could be even responding to Rav Huna Rav Yochanan. It does, but he may not. In other words, the little data that we actually have, as opposed to the pamphlet, which makes a claim. We have to check this. But it makes it, if he's really a Talmud of theirs, so then it really makes a good deal of sense to explain that to Kitanoi. Well, yes, if you're going to read a Kitanoi going to the Machlokas, it's going to be must. Yeah. Okay. So, but if you read on Chitim and Sarim, I can make a plausible claim as well. In a certain sense, whether you want to read the Batzel Gadol as being a different quality or just a size issue really depends on whose Machlokas you want to tie it to. Although, ironically, who does Rashi tie it to? Rashi says that Avalochatzi Batzel Gadol Afa Pisheshbo Yoser Mikatan Shalem, which sounds as if the only issue is amount. Yeah, but then it's... No, he doesn't. So you think that Rashi... No, but Rashi says Kitanoi is on the... explicit on the Sarim Lechitim. Is Rashi... Tosas Rashi was right. He couldn't take it all the way back because Rashi holds in some cases you have a choice. So the question is, Rashi really could have said, when Rashi, in other words, there are two things that might make it impossible to tie the Tanai to Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, either because you hold Mei, or because you hold that the difference between that the Batzel, the Chatzi Batzel Gadol, isn't actually larger than the Batzel Katan Shalem. So, but if you held that it's must, and you held that the only difference is that the Chatzi Batzel Gadol is actually larger in size for this unit, so then it wouldn't be clear why would you not tie the Tanai back to Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. Okay. Now, what does the Gemara say in response to Rav Chia, Rav Yemir Bar Abba? Go ahead, Nadav. Heicha.
Heicha the Ika Kohen, Kuliyam lo Pligi the Chashuvah. If Pligi the Lech Kohen, if not, a Koma Kohen Yesh Kohen, Torah Min HaYofeh, a Koma Kohen Kohen, Torah Min HaMitayim.
Rabbi Yehudam? It's a very interesting machlokas, philosophically speaking. Whose position seems odd?
It's a Kohen.
Yeah, it's an odd that if the Kohen's not there, you should do it min hayafeh. If it's not miskayim, potentially it's gonna, rot away. So, yeah, in other words, it's a very fascinating statement. Is the act of truma? Yeah, obviously truma is both, but is the focus on truma providing sustenance for the Kohen, or is the focus on truma in teaching the balabayis to give?
Could always because from his ask the Kohen if he's around. Hey, you want a chatzi batzel gadol or a?
But it might not matter, Rabbi.
It wouldn't matter what he wants.
No, the
chavi vadiv.
No, the point is, if he's there, everybody agrees that you give him chaviv. He's not there, and this potentially he's going to lose it. I presume the kohen might very well say he wants the miskayim, not the chaviv.
Absolutely.
But nonetheless, Rabbi Huda says you tore him in a miskayim. You tore him in a chaviv.
Miskayim is chaviv if you're not around.
No, Rabbi Huda. No, chaviv there is an objective. Obviously, from the fact that it's a machlokas, chaviv is an objective. In other words, given if he were here, what would he like better? That's called chaviv. Rabbi Huda says you tore him in a chaviv. That's an incredible statement. Chashuv. Fine. So even more so that you ignore what Ben said. But my point is, either way, the point is that you see, according to Rabbi Huda, he's more concerned about the effect on the pnimios of the Torah than he is about the Kohen's Matana. I'm sorry, Ben. Okay, and all the other Kohanim here also. Okay. Shalom.
I say, presumably, when you ask the Kohen, if he wants to have an onion, you're not showing him half an onion, because why would you cut the onion when it's still pepper? If you're showing him a big onion, that's why it's covered. Because you're not looking at half an onion, you're looking at a big onion, and assuming that you're going to cut it in half.
Yeah, but Shlomo, the point is you're offering, what do you want? You want me to cut this onion in half and give you half of it, or do you want me to give you a complete whole small onion?
Right, no, again, it might not be relevant. I'm just saying that when he's thinking about the onion, he's not thinking of a half an onion, but he's thinking of this big onion cut in half, because you're not showing him half an onion. Why would
okay, so, no, you could, because it could be pieces of the onion broke already, in other words, in the process of handling. And you're deciding, you're separating the truma now. You drop them if you hit something whammed into it. Okay. Anyway, but either way, the point is that a Kohen. Okay. Fine. So now.
So what does it mean?
So if so, what we've said is, of course, everybody agrees. What? What does everybody agrees? That chashuv is adif. By a Kohen, chashuv is adif. They only argue when the Kohen's not there. What's better to do, the chashuv or the miskayim? And therefore, what? What would be by Chitim and Saorim? Let's look at both choices. What would be by Chitim and Saorim? Yeah, but normally, Eyal, when you reject the Kitanoi, normally when you reject it, it means both positions wind up on one side of the equation. What frequently happens in the Bavli is you get Lema Kitanoi, you have a machlokas, let's say Rav and Shmuel. Lema Kitanoi, and they want to talk to a machlokas of either Meir. And then Rav says, Rav Amar Lacha, Rav could say to you, no, that everybody really holds like me. And then Shmuel can say in the reverse, everybody really holds like me. So normally when you docha a name of Kitanoi, which is what's happening here, normally both positions wind up on one side, which means in this case, if it was Prusa Shel Chitim and Shlema Shel Saorim, just one second now, I know where you're going with this. case, the Rishonim do have to do something with this for a good reason. But if you want to say, what would the conclusion be? What would everybody hold by Chitim and Sarim? Prusa Shachitim. That would work just fine. Now, there's only one minor problem, which is Rabbi Yochanan. Let's just step back to analyze Rabbi Yochanan's position for a moment. That Kulei Alma Modu, that everybody agrees by Chitim and Sarim, you make it on Chitim even though it's a Prusa. What is Rav Huna's position? If you look, what does Rav Huna hold by Petitim and Shleimim? You may or you must make on the Petitim. What does he hold by Chitim and Sarim? Presumably, you make on the Chitim. So what is his position? Shleima Adif or Chashiv Adif? Chashiv Adif. How does he fit then? Forgetting about the limit that he was on, how does he fit with the maskana of the Dechia of Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba? Nicely. Now, what is Rav Yochanan's position? Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, so again, allow me to say must for the moment, okay? I just want to highlight the methodological issue now. Okay, now, what is Rabbi Yochanan's position? Rabbi Yochanan's position is that Shalem is Adif. But, if it's really, 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 really Chashuv, then sometimes Chashuv overrides Shalem.
Which is natural to us if we read the Tosefta.
What?
Which is natural to us if we read this.
Yes. Now, the Gemara says, isn't this a machlokas hatanoim? So the Gemara says, no, everybody holds that chashav is adif mishalim. So, if that's the case, if in fact petitim could still be considered chashuvim, then why don't we say tjufted Rabbi Yochanan? Because all the Tanaim hold that in principle, what do you give to the Kohen? Chashuv. Rabbi Yochanan says, Shalom overrides Chashuv, at least some of the time. Okay, so there are two possibilities. There are two possibilities. One is to say that in terms of the comparison, the Mishnah and Trumos, where we say Kulei Alma Chashuv Adif, is analogous more to Chitim and Sarim, meaning the gap between Batel Gadol and Batel Katan is significant enough that it's like Chitim and Sarim, because even Rabbi Yochanan holds that if it's really, 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 really Chashuv, then that overrides Shleiman. But if it were something like Petitim and Shleiman, where the Petitim are not much, even if they're bigger, it's not much more Chashuv than the Shleima, so then Rabbi Yochanan says, of course, Shleima wins. Now, Tosfos, by the way, if you notice, did not take that approach. Tosfos, if you look in Dibor Maskech Kolhecha, I don't care what his answer is for now. I just want you to see his question. You need to realize what's bothering him. Tosfos on Kolhecha dika koin kulem alapli de chashivadif, unihi de leel ka'amar petitin dolem ushleimim ketanim de mevarech ala shleimim. I don't care what his answer is. You see, Tosfos was fundamentally troubled by the question, because once the Gemara says that Chashuv is Adif, Lechulei Alma, then I don't care what the Kitanoi was originally meant for. At the end of the day, Rabbi Yochanan has to answer to the Tanoim. Now, I happen to think that after today's shiur, and I didn't think this going in, I'm more and more inclined to believe that the Ravid, I think the Ravid has this, I'm not sure, is maybe not, maybe nobody says it, that the correct Kitanoi is on Rav Huna Rabbi Yochanan. I'm more and more inclined to believe that. If you say that, then you have to answer this question. You do have to answer the question, because once you've said no, Kulei Alma Chashuv Adif, it's a kasha against Rabbi Yochanan. So then, the only way to get around it is going to be to do what Tosfos does, which is to argue that, in fact, Bracha and Truma are not comparable. Nadav?
And I understand the rejections of the Kitanai, or in general, actually, not necessarily here. Basically, what we're saying is, my love, Bracha, he was saying, no, they could have been arguing about something else. But the fact that they could have been arguing about that something else doesn't say anything about what they were arguing about.
No, because the whole point is the Gemara here, it's not just, it's Docha, it brings a Raya. It brings a Raya. So in other words, yes, you're correct. Sometimes when we're Docha, the Chiyah is not proven. It just means it's not a possibility. Here, it is the possibility. It is the possibility. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure out if any Rishonim actually. I want to see if anybody actually does say. I don't know if anybody explicitly ties tonight or from Rabbi Yochanan. It would make a lot of sense. Okay. So finally, just read to the end of the next little piece. Amar.
Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, the Arnish Amar, you will say they shnei Umanu, Marbar de Ravina.
And there are two Gersos in the... Well, what is Shnei? A Marbrei de Ravina, go ahead, Demar.
Marbrei de Ravina, Mariach Prusa, B'tokha Shneima, Uvot Seya.
Okay. And then, Tani Tana Kame.
Tani Tana Kame,
the Ravina. We haven't discussed what that means, but it means you make the Brach on both. What you both say, we'll talk about tomorrow.
Tani Tana Kame, the Ravina, Mariach Prusa, B'tokha Shneima, Uvot Seya, Umbaharech, Amalei Mashemech, Amalei Shalman.
So, I don't know which it is. Okay.
Amalei shalom ata v'shlom.
Ushleima mishnaseich.
Mishnaseich. Shesanta shalom
v'shasach. Okay. Fine. Now, what does yotze yidei shneihem mean? So here there might be another girsa issue. What is the other girsa? What is shneihem? There are two opinions in the Rishonim. Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan. That girsa then makes sense. In other words, if you want to avoid the machlokas between them. Now that, as we pointed out earlier, immediately suggests that the machlokas is must. Because the machlokas is may, just follow Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Ari? What's that? Ooh, that's very sharp. None of the Rishonim say it that way. I'm sorry? Right, that's... The only problem is that you're assuming Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak is working in the context of the Mishnah in Trumos as opposed to simply working in the context of Pas, which brings us back to earlier. None of the Rishonim say it that way. There are Rishonim for whom that would have been very convenient to solve a very minor, serious grammatical issue, but none of them actually opt for that. That's very interesting. What's the alternative? Okay, another possibility? Chitim and Sorin. Yotze Yidei, the Pas Chitim and the Pas Sorin. If that's the case, there's a one minor grammatical problem, which is it should have said Yotze Yidei. Shtehen. Pas is Mekeva. That's why the Rush writes that some understand Shtei Lechamim. Lechem is Zachar. There is one manuscript that has Shtehen, actually.
Could it just be like,
what? What's
that? No, but Shnehem in terms of the Shitas.
You grammatical Neanderthal. Okay.
In terms of the Shitas, in terms of the...
Well, there's a more basic problem. Let me say it differently. There's a more basic problem. Yotze Yidei Shnehem. There are no two Shitas by Chitim and Sorim.
Well, we try to suggest there are by saying...
Okay, so that's what... And that's why Ari jumped on the idea that maybe Shnehem refers to Tanan, but ultimately the Gemara doesn't think it's tied to that, and he doesn't seem to be talking about Truma.
Are we at this point assuming that until we reject that idea, well, aren't we assuming that the machlok, if there is a machlokas by Chitim Sarim, that is the same machlokas as being argued out in the Tanaim, in the Mishnah? So I'm saying, so what's the difference between what Ari said and this, and just saying that's talking about Chitim Sarim?
No, clearly
not talking about.
Okay, so with this, you have tomorrow morning to think about this question. The Rishonim do explain; they get a little better than just. You know, they do address the question, but is there no machlokas? You know, but there's no machlokas. So what do you mean yotzei yidei shneihem? Now they're going to give an answer. I think we can give a better answer based upon something we said today in shir. But you got to think about that. The Baalei Tosfos address it. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Tomorrow, at least, hopefully, we'll try to tie the ends together and get through Tosfos as well. Okay.